Chapter 18, The Worker Who Wasn't There. The end of work? For most of human history, work was the foundation of economic life. People worked to produce food, shelter and clothing, support their families and build their communities. Work was not merely a source of income, it was also a source of identity, purpose and meaning. The Industrial Revolution changed the nature of work without eliminating it. Labor moved from farms to factories, from agriculture to manufacturing, and from rural communities to cities. The work changed. The workers remained. The AI revolution may be different. For the first time, technology can perform not only physical tasks but increasingly cognitive ones. Production could continue to rise while the need for human labor falls. The worker who wasn't there is the worker whose task is performed by a machine. That raises a fundamental economic question. What happens when production no longer requires the same number of people to produce it? The traditional economic cycle, wages to consumption, consumption to production, production to wages, depends heavily on employment. If employment becomes less central to production, that cycle has to change. You might reasonably object, we've heard this before. The Luddites thought machines would destroy jobs, and they were wrong. They were. Previous technological revolutions displaced workers but also created new forms of employment. The question is whether AI can repeat that pattern at sufficient scale. The automation of cognitive labor. Previous technological revolutions primarily automated physical labor. The steam engine replaced muscle. Industrial machinery replaced repetitive manual tasks. Computers automated calculation and information processing. AI moves further into cognitive work. It can analyze documents, generate software, interpret images, conduct research, answer questions, produce content, optimize operations, and assist with decision making. That matters because cognitive work represents a large share of modern economic activity. The transition is already visible. Law firms use AI for document review and research. Hospitals use AI-assisted systems to analyze medical images. Businesses use AI for customer service, logistics, forecasting, and administration. Creative industries use it to generate text, images, audio, and video. The important distinction is not that AI will replace every worker. It is that one system can increasingly perform tasks that previously required many workers. A law firm that once needed hundreds of junior employees to review documents may eventually need far fewer. A customer service operation may handle a much larger volume of inquiries with fewer people. A company may produce more software with a smaller development team. The work still exists. The worker may not. The productivity-employment trade-off. Automation creates an apparent trade-off between productivity and employment. Machines can work continuously, replicate instantly, and perform some tasks at very low marginal cost. This can dramatically increase output per worker. But when a machine performs a task previously performed by a person, fewer workers may be required. Historically, displaced workers often moved into new industries. Agricultural automation reduced farm employment, while industrialization created factory jobs. Later, automation reduced some manufacturing employment while services expanded. The uncertainty with AI is whether the creation of new human jobs will keep pace with the destruction or transformation of existing ones. AI may create new occupations, industries, and forms of work. But those jobs may require different skills, and the transition may be faster than workers and institutions can adapt. That creates a new problem for the financial system. The system relies heavily on employment to distribute purchasing power. Workers receive wages. They spend those wages. Businesses receive revenue and invest. Investment creates further production and employment. If production rises while employment falls, that feedback loop becomes weaker. Imagine a factory that becomes 10 times more productive while employing 1/10 as many people. Production can increase dramatically, but the workers who have disappeared from the payroll no longer receive the wages that once supported demand. The problem is not a lack of productive capacity. It is the distribution of purchasing power. The breaking of the link. For much of the industrial era, economic growth and employment were closely connected. More production generally required more workers. More workers earned more income. More income supported more consumption. Rising demand encouraged more production. AI can weaken that relationship. Production can increase without proportional increases in employment. Productivity can rise while the number of workers required to produce a given quantity of output falls. That does not mean economic growth will necessarily eliminate jobs. It means growth can no longer be assumed to create employment at the same rate as before. This distinction matters enormously. If the financial system assumes that economic expansion automatically produces broad-based wage income, but technological progress increasingly separates production from employment, some of those assumptions become outdated. The challenge is therefore not to stop technological progress. It is to build an economic system capable of distributing purchasing power, even when productive capacity becomes less dependent on human labor. The circular flow problem. The traditional circular flow is straightforward. Workers earn wages to wages, fund consumption to consumption, creates demand to demand, supports production to production, supports employment. AI can weaken the employment link within that cycle. If fewer workers are required, wage income can become a smaller share of total economic income. Without another mechanism for distributing purchasing power, consumption can become increasingly concentrated among those who own the productive assets. This creates a potential mismatch. Productive capacity rises while purchasing power becomes concentrated. The problem is therefore not that society becomes unable to produce enough. It may become exceptionally good at producing enough. The problem is who receives the income generated by that production. That makes distribution a central economic question of the AI era. The productivity dividend is designed as one possible response. By distributing part of the gains from rising productivity to citizens, it creates a source of purchasing power that is not entirely dependent on employment. The objective is to keep the circular flow functioning even as the role of labor changes. The distributional crisis. Automation can create a distributional problem because its benefits may initially accrue disproportionately to the owners of productive capital. The companies developing and deploying AI capture revenue and profits. Their shareholders and other capital providers participate in those gains. Workers displaced by automation experience the opposite effect. Their bargaining power can weaken, their income can fall, and their employment may become less secure. This does not mean every AI gain will automatically flow to capital or that workers will necessarily lose overall. Institutions, competition, taxation, new industries, and labor shortages can all change the outcome. But the possibility of widening inequality is real enough to require a policy response. The issue is particularly important because broad-based consumption remains essential to a market economy. If productivity gains are concentrated among people who already possess substantial wealth, the economy can become increasingly productive without distributing purchasing power broadly enough to sustain demand. The result could be an economy with extraordinary productive capacity and insufficiently distributed income. That is the distributional challenge. The new social contract. The industrial social contract was built largely around employment. People worked. They earned wages. They paid taxes. They consumed. They accumulated savings. They received pensions and other benefits. If employment becomes less central to economic production, that contract must evolve. A new social contract could be based on a broader principle. Everyone should have a stake in the productivity of the economy, whether or not everyone is required to work in the traditional sense. That does not mean eliminating work. People will continue to work because work provides income, purpose, status, creativity, and social connection. Many forms of work may also remain difficult to automate. But employment may become less necessary as the sole mechanism for distributing economic prosperity. The productivity dividend is one proposed mechanism. It would distribute a portion of productivity-linked revenues to citizens, creating a direct connection between technological progress and public prosperity. The productivity bond complements this by linking part of the financial system to productivity, rather than relying entirely on conventional growth. Together, they represent the beginning of a different social contract, one in which productivity gains can be shared without requiring every person to remain economically indispensable to the production process. The role of the productivity bond. The productivity bond is designed for precisely this transition. Its purpose is not to stop automation. Automation is one of the main sources of the productivity gains the model is intended to capture. Instead, the bond creates a financial claim linked to those gains. As productivity increases, the return can increase within the model's defined limits. When productivity weakens, the return adjusts. This creates a different relationship between technological progress and finance. Under a conventional system, the owners of productive capital may capture most of the gains from automation. Under the proposed system, productivity-linked financial instruments can provide another channel through which those gains are shared. The productivity dividend extends that principle to citizens. The result is not a promise that everyone will receive an equal share of every technological gain. It is a mechanism for ensuring that rising productivity can generate a broader economic benefit. The bond is therefore not a solution to automation itself. It is a mechanism for adapting finance to automation. Beyond employment. The deeper question is whether employment should remain the primary gateway to economic security in an economy where machines can increasingly perform productive tasks. For centuries, the answer was obvious because human labor was indispensable. If one person had to perform the work, that person had to be paid. If a machine can perform the work, the relationship changes. The economy can produce more with fewer people, but the people who are no longer needed for production still need purchasing power if the market economy is to remain broadly functional. That creates a paradox. The more productive machines become, the less necessary human labor may become, and the more important it becomes to find other ways of distributing the resulting prosperity. This is not necessarily the end of work. It could be the beginning of a different relationship between work and economic security. Human beings may increasingly work because they want to contribute, create, compete, care, discover, and participate, not simply because the economy cannot function without their labor. The worker who wasn't there is therefore more than a symbol of job displacement. It represents a fundamental transition. From an economy in which human labor is the primary source of productive capacity, to one in which productivity itself becomes the central economic asset. The challenge is to ensure that when the machines produce more, society does not simply produce more wealth for the owners of the machines. It must find a way for the productivity gains to become shared prosperity.